The ban of the Valar is one of the most important concepts in the Second Age of Middle-earth. Humans were strictly forbidden to travel to the Undying Lands, and when they did, it had seismic consequences. But why? Why weren't humans allowed into Valinor? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we cover The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire, and much more. If you love in-depth discussion of great fantasy and science fiction, welcome. One of the most important plot points in the Second Age of Middle-earth, one that had implications for the future of the entire planet, was the ban of the Valar. The Numenoreans were banned from sailing west from their homeland far enough that they could no longer see its coasts, a ban specifically designed to prevent humans from ever going to Valinor. The nature of humanity being what it is meant that people wanted what they were not allowed to have. So in time, the ban was broken, and humans thought that they were right to do so. But let's go back to why the ban was there in the first place. As you'd expect, Tolkien goes quite deep on this. It's not just a ban for the sake of it. None of this was really an issue in the First Age. Humans existed in Middle-earth, the second-born of the children of Iluvatar, but many of them were under Morgoth's control, and almost none of them ever travelled to the western edge of the map. Added to which, Valinor was shut to elves, too. The Noldorin Rebellion had led to a firm response from the Valar. But after the War of Wrath at the end of the First Age, the world changed, literally. Some of the humans had distinguished themselves in the First Age, the three tribes of the Edain, and the Valar rewarded them with the new island continent of Numenor, off the west coast of Middle-earth, as a homeland. They were also given slightly longer lifespans, particularly the ruling classes who descended from Elros the Half-Elven, first king of Numenor, who had chosen a human life, but had not just elf but also Maiar ancestry. The Noldorin elves were forgiven by the Valar, and the way was left open for them to return to Valinor, and for other elves to go there for the first time. We see that they do this through the Second and Third Ages, a slow drip, drip, drip of migration westwards. This wasn't a secret, it was well known. All elves were not only welcome in the Undying Lands, but summoned there. Fading, the sea longing and other factors are all involved here, but they are for another video. For now, the point is that the elves were allowed there, but the Numenoreans, and indeed everyone else other than the elves, dwarves, hobbits and so on, were not. In fact, the Numenoreans were specifically banned. They were given only one instruction by the Valar, not to sail westward, so far as to be out of sight of Numenor, which must have been quite hard for the Numenoreans, because they were a great seafaring nation. They loved to travel far afield and discover new lands, and the Undying Lands were just there. They were so close, we're told in the Silmarillion, that at times, when all the air was clear and the sun was in the east, they would look out and descry far off in the west a city, white shining on a distant shore, and a great harbour and a tower. For in those days the Numenoreans were far-sighted. Yet, even so, it was only the keenest eyes among them that could see this vision, from the Meneltama, maybe, or from some tall ship that lay off their western coast as far as it was lawful for them to go. But they did not dare break the ban of the Lords of the West. But the wise among them knew that this distant land was not indeed the blessed realm of Valinor, it was Avalone, the haven of the Eldar upon Eressëa, easternmost of the Undying Lands. So Valinor was almost within eyesight, but they weren't allowed to go there. Despite this, the elves were allowed to go from Tol Eressëa to them and back. Thence at times the firstborn would still come sailing to Numenor in oarless boats, as white birds flying from the sunset. And they brought to Numenor many gifts, birds of song and fragrant flowers and herbs of great virtue, and a seedling they brought of Celeborn, the white tree that grew in the midst of Eressëa, and the tree grew and blossomed in the courts of the king in Armenelos. Nimloth it was named, and flowered in the evening, and the shadows of night it filled with its fragrance. Valinor was so close the Numenoreans could almost see it, and elves came from there with great treasures and things of beauty. It was clearly an amazing place, and yet the Numenoreans were not allowed to go there, or even sail close by. The story of Numenor over 3.5 millennia is a story of the rise and fall of a great civilization, a fall that was fueled by a growing jealousy or a sense of righteous indignation, which, from a purely human perspective, seems understandable. Even more fundamental than access to Valinor itself, humans were painfully aware that they grew old and died, while the elves lived on unchanging. So, from a very human perspective, it's easy to see why the ban on humans travelling to Valinor must have felt unfair. Why should elves get eternal life and get to live in the Undying Lands while humans grow old and die and are denied access to the beauties of Valinor? Part of this human discontent does seem to have been built on a misunderstanding. The Undying Lands are not heaven. Simply being there does not grant you eternal life. It's the land itself that is undying, unchanging, not the residents, automatically anyway. But this brings us to the heart of Tolkien's theological musings on this point, and in-world, the Valar's reason for preventing humans from going to Valinor. There's a fundamental difference between the nature of humans and the nature of elves. Elves are tied to Arda, body and soul, like the Valar and Maiar are, actually. They are tied to it until the end of time. When an elf dies, their spirit goes to the halls of Mandos for a time, then is re-embodied and returns to Aman. This tends to happen off-page. We don't see it, but Tolkien does give us a concrete example. Glorfindel died heroically in the First Age, went to the halls of Mandos, was re-embodied in Valinor, and then sent back to Middle-earth in the Second Age. This was not what happened with humans. When they died, they died. Their spirits stopping off perhaps in the halls of Mandos, but ultimately heading on somewhere else, the implication being somewhere good. Only Mandos and Manwë himself knew where. It was known as the Doom of Men, or more cheerily, the Gift of Ilúvatar. You see, to the Valar, mortal death was a gift. Humans weren't trapped in Arda like them or elves. Death freed them. Which sounds lovely, though obviously over time most humans took to seeing death as not a gift, but just death. And so to the Valar, the two sets of the Children of Ilúvatar, elves and humans, had different environmental needs. Immortal elves needed permanence, a slow pace of life, beauty and depth and subtlety and nuance, all the things that Valinor offered. Humans, however, were like a flame that burned bright and quick. They matched a world of change, birth and death and renewal and impermanence. Seasons changing, kingdoms rising and falling, that kind of thing. In other words, Middle-earth. They simply were not right for Valinor at a deep level. The Valar tried to explain this to the Numenoreans, as we read in the Silmarillion. Were you so to voyage, that escaping all deceits and snares you came indeed to Aman, the blessed realm, little would it profit you? For it is not the land of Manwë that makes its people deathless, but the deathless that dwell therein have hallowed the land, and there you would but wither and grow weary the sooner, as moths in a light too strong and steadfast. So humans in Valinor would grow weary and die early, much like, in their own way, elves grow weary eventually in Middle-earth and long to head to Valinor. Both peoples don't work well in the long term in an environment that wasn't made for them. Tolkien clarified this a bit more in an essay called A Man and Mortal Men. But in a man, he says, such a creature, a mortal man, would be a fleeting thing, the most swift passing of all beasts, for his whole life would last little more than one half year, and while all other living creatures would seem to him hardly to change, but to remain steadfast in life and joy with hope of endless years undimmed, he would rise and pass, even as upon earth the grass may rise in spring and wither ere winter. To be clear, Tolkien doesn't mean that a human's life would necessarily be shorter, but they would experience it as such, surrounded as they would be by such eternity. Valinor was made for the immortals. Middle-earth was made for the humans. As for the ban being applied specifically to the Numenoreans, well, there was a logic to that, too, by the Valar. The Numenoreans had been granted a longer life than other humans, but this made the need for them not to go to Valinor all the more important. The Valar reasoned that the Numenoreans' long life aids their achievements in art and wisdom, but breeds a possessive attitude to these things, and desire awakes for more time for their enjoyment. Foreseeing this in part, the gods laid a ban on the Numenoreans from the beginning. They must never sail to Eresea, nor westward out of sight of their own land. In all other directions they could go as they would, but they must not set foot on immortal lands, and so become enamoured of an immortality within the world which was against their law. The specific doom or gift of Iluvatar, God, and which their nature could not in fact endure. But the further the Numenoreans withdrew from the company of elves and the worship of Aru, the less they understood this or agreed with it, and the more they wanted what they thought they had been maliciously denied, eternal life. And this is where Sauron came in. He saw the opportunity to destroy the Numenoreans by turning the Valar on them. All he needed to do was to stoke up the fire of this resentment and suggest that the Valar had been hiding the secret of immortality from them in Valinor. That's why they were banned from Valinor. All they needed to do was build a big enough navy to go over there and take it. The Valar's protestation and pleadings were as nothing to the Numenoreans' closed ears, and the doom of Numenor became inevitable. Now, having explained that there were very good reasons for the ban of the Valar, we should probably also acknowledge at this point that, yes, there were some exceptions made. Famously, at the end of The Lord of the Rings, the three ring-bearers, Frodo, Bilbo, and later Sam, were all allowed to travel to Valinor, and even Gimli went there with Legolas at the apparent invitation of Galadriel. Do these exceptions prove anything? Well, I tend to the view that they do. They showed that this ban was not done out of spite or rigid dogma. The Valar knew that the Undying Lands were a blessing, but also perhaps a curse for those who stayed but were not suited to them. And so, although a general rule of exclusion was needed, exceptions were granted where grace demanded it, and when it actually probably wouldn't harm the person involved. Bilbo, Sam, and Gimli were near the end of their natural lives anyway when they were allowed access. To see the Undying Lands was a last gift for their twilight years in recognition for their selfless service. They probably all died there sometime later, at perfect peace. As for Frodo, the last ringbearer, well, there is no doubt that the ring will have stretched his timeline, so the negative impacts of Valinor may well have been less of an issue. And given the physical and spiritual wounds that he suffered in Middle-earth, the healing he got there might mean that it is actually a better place for him. So, why were humans banned from Valinor? Whatever the Numenoreans thought, it wasn't a malicious plot by the Valar to withhold immortality from humanity. The Undying Lands did not grant immortality. It was simply because Valinor was not designed for mortal humans. If they went there, they would wither and die, like moths in a light too strong and steadfast. The ban of the Valar was a mercy, not a punishment. If you'd like to see more videos on the world of J.R.R. Tolkien and The Lord of the Rings, please click on the link to the playlist on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of this screen. Thanks for watching. That's all for this time. I'll see you again soon.